This program presents ways to optimize health and well-being. When considering lifestyle changes, please consult with your healthcare provider to ensure they are suitable for you.
Hello and welcome. I'm Casey Vakurka. The word connection can make us think of many things. It might be a power supply, a phone signal, or the internet. It might be a friend, family, or community. There are many things in life that only work well when properly connected. Stay with us as we talk more about the connection between the body, soul, and spirit.
This is Your Lifestyle as Medicine, a production of 3ABN Australia Television.
It's wonderful to have you with us on this program where we explore ways that you can shape your lifestyle as medicine. Today we are once again joined by health psychologist Jennifer Skews, and we are continuing our discussion about the relationship between body, soul, and spirit. This time we are focusing on the connection between these aspects. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me here.
You're very welcome. So last time we spoke about what the meaning is of the soul and spirit in particular, because that's often an area that can be not quite so clear for people. So today we're looking more about how this whole system of body, soul and spirit is so closely connected. Yes. Tell us more about this.
Okay. We used a great diagram before showing body, soul and spirit and how the Holy Spirit works with us in the last session. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is explore this a bit more, because we talked about bits and pieces and we want to see how the whole lot integrates. Mm-hmm. And what that process is on all of those levels. So when you have a look at it, we're going to start at the bottom with the body. And the body receives information from the physical world. We are constantly having input to the body. And that, because the body is made up of your brain as well. So it receives it in the five senses, and that is stored in the brain's memory bank. We have a visual type memory, which is in context with where we're at, and we have an emotional memory, and it's stored in video form, but it's five sense around video, because when we watch a video, we're watching and hearing, but our brain video has the other aspects as well. So when we recall information, we can recall it in the five senses. So, and this means that as we go through life, the body collects information, stores it in the brain, and it becomes part of, obviously, the soul, because the soul will then use that information to action and develop. Okay, so, and the body is part of our conscious awareness, because we those five senses, we connect to things. Okay, and of course, in the brain and the mind is where we action those choices. And this is where the brain, which is still part of the body, has programmed beliefs. And they're in the cellular level of the brain, where we've got all these information pathways that are connected to the five senses. And the interesting part is that we don't delete the video. We actually maintain the video, but we don't remember everything at the same time. But any part of that video in our programmed brain can be recalled in the five senses, or it can be triggered in the five senses. So, for example, a smell. And smells actually go to the back part of the brain and then into the front of the brain. So they're very subtle. But often you go, oh, there's something around here I don't like, and then you pick up the smell. Or someone's perfume or a particular fragrance, and you might think, oh, they're really nice people, and you pick up on the fragrance. Okay. On the other senses, touch is powerful. You know, for some people, touch gives them a lot of warmth, and because it's connected to positive touch in the past. The problem is if any of the senses that are active in a traumatic event are triggered, then we start living the past in the present. So, and that's where, when we look at the spirit, that's where, when we look at the spirit and the soul connection, if the soul is troubled because it now has a past memory coming into the present, then our spirit is compromised. Whereas if we have a good memory that is loaded in and the brain picks it up and it's programmed in and we remember that, it's like remembering a good holiday. We look at the photos and go, oh, I had such a good time. We can feel a spirit pick up. Okay? So what we focus on and what parts of the videos we have in our mind are triggered will determine how the soul senses, feels, develops, and how the character develops. And it can be for good or for bad. So
does, with those videos, I'm really intrigued by this idea of videos going on in our minds which we can retrieve at any point. Yeah, and it is true. It's just, yeah, thinking of it that way is quite interesting. Does it happen that if you think about a certain video, if you will, or memory from the past, whatever, if you think about that one over and over again, that it will remain more strongly in your mind, whereas if you don't think about it much but are focusing, let's say it's a negative experience and you're not focusing on it, you're focusing on lots of the positive things that have happened in your life, that those negative ones won't be so strong in your mind somehow?
It can work that way. It is a use it or lose it principle with the brain, because if we, because when we have a strong connection to something, what we do is we put in huge pathways, and when those events are repeated over and over again, whether they're good or bad, that pathway becomes like a big motorway or an LA freeway in the brain. So you've got all these connections that are triggered at the same time, which is why trauma is so difficult for people, you know, because they have such a strong memory. But if you help the person to deal with it in the present and put it back in the past and debrief it, and their memory is actually in every cell of the body. So you actually have to debrief the whole system, the nervous system, the memory bank. And when you connect that memory on all those levels, it's now living in the past, and the person can think of it and they go, oh, it wasn't nice, but it doesn't mow them down, so to speak. Right, so this is sort of treating stress and trauma. And we can reverse what the body has taken on and how the brain has been programmed. But you need to understand it, which is, again, is what I help people do. I educate people to understand what we're talking about now and help them identify it. But I find it's, even though it's a use it or lose it, we never lose it totally. The outer core of the brain actually programs it in on a permanent basis unless you damage the tissues or that area of the brain. Now, doesn't mean we'll ever resurrect it, but if we are compromised, particularly spiritually, and we start going back down that hill, then what can happen, we can resurrect that memory or that habit. So, yeah, I sort of see it as part of that old nature. The Bible refers to the fallen nature that is still present, but we don't need to use it. And we can only function in the present to be aware that the body's reacting like that again, and that's where giving people the tools to recognise and then do something about it. Treat the problem in the present. Then it won't be repeated in the future.
Yes. So what I hear you're saying then is the experiences we have in life, say with the physical world, with people, with, you know, that creates these memories, they can have an impact on our minds, but they can also have an impact on our spirit. But it sounds like also if we are nurturing our spirit in the right way, that can also have an impact then on those memories as to how much they will affect our everyday lives. So again, we're talking about the connections and how integrated they are.
And part of that healthy integration is allowing God's spirit to work with our spirit. And when you do that, it strengthens our spirit, and then we can do that journey. We cannot do it just by, psychology. If we don't include spirit, psychology can work for a while, but it's not going to necessarily treat the whole person. can see where we need all that integration.
Yeah, yeah. And that's such a fascinating point that you just made there, because I was just thinking back to the graph which we looked at earlier with the triangle and the fact that it has, you know, the physical body, right? It's connected with the physical world, right?
Yes.
And so that's like something outside of the body that it's connected with. And then with the spirit, then the idea of the Holy Spirit, that's something outside of our spirit, if you will, that we are needing a connection to. And so I guess the point is, we are not built to be on our own, are we? Like, we're built to have connections outside in big, powerful ways.
Yeah. Mm. But when you look at that, even though if we separate our spirit from God's spirit, once we let that spirit back in, it's now in our heart and mind and is working through us. Mm. So we then integrate it and it quickens our spirit.
Mm.
There's a couple of good quotes there. There's a gentleman by the name of John G. Lake, and he stated a lot about the Spirit of God, and he said, when touched by the Spirit of God, a quickening takes place.
Mm.
Right. And that quickening is very real. It's in the present and you know it's there. Right. And that's where the conscience works, and then the will can action it. So that will then help the soul to deal with whatever's happening. And it's a healing process. And that means the way the body reacts to the physical world or that environment changes.
Mm.
Right. So that means we can cope with the physical environmental input.
That's really good, and that's really important, I guess, in this world, because there are many physical environmental inputs that aren't really good for us, whether it's because we get sickness or something is done to us that is unfair or something, and we have these negative experiences.
Mm. Yes. But how we deal with it is relevant to how strong our spirit is, and that's if we're connected to God's spirit, then we have the strength, the insight and the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then if we learn and grow on the soul level, which is, again, that's where psychology can be good, because it teaches us awareness, how the brain works, how it's programmed, what we can do to change the program. So this is where on a practical level the soul can work through the brain, through the mind, which then helps the character develop.
Mm.
Because it's really a balancing of mind and emotions via the spirit.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, having it that way with those balancing together. So what would this look like in a situation, say someone's got like a chronic health condition, or, you know, they've got a health problem. What does it actually look like in terms of, you know, maybe they can't change their situation physically.
No.
How can they still experience the best possible health in terms of the connections with mind, body, spirit, even in a situation like that?
Well, it comes back to that, and this comes back to the soul, the attitude and what we, the strength of our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So people who deny spirit suffer a lot more than people who connect with God's spirit and make their spirit thrive. Mm-hmm. And this is where you can get people, and you've probably met them, and they don't complain, they're joyful, they're happy. And then you hear that they've been struggling with cancer or they have a major pain problem, but you wouldn't know. Whereas someone who is immersed in that is going to share it and show it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I
can think of people like that.
Yes.
both types easily, yeah.
there's a poet I love, her name's Annie Johnson Flint. You can read her poetry online, and she's deceased a long time ago, but she was born with a major impairment, was in a wheelchair all her life and had chronic pain. Yet people never knew she was in pain, and she connected to God. She allowed his spirit to empower her spirit. She understood God's word, his truth, she embraced it. And she used to write poems constantly on the beauty of what God had shown her and the truths. And she never complained, even though you wouldn't have known, apparently, that she was in pain. And that's because of the spirit.
Mm.
If she was stuck in the body, she would have been complaining. And there are a lot of people out there who all you hear about are their aches and pains. Yeah, so we can help them if they understand this process and they're willing to give it a go.
So in situations like that, like what is the best way to start nurturing the spirit, like to make sure that that is healthy, well, it's going to help improve your overall function?
Yeah. One, I think it's a balance. How many people are workaholics that don't give themselves time, that drive till they drop, you know, burn out, do all that? We have to make time, healthy time for ourselves. It's not self-centered. It's helping us to self-preserve. Right, so that means doing things that nurture our spirit, and different people have different ways of doing it. I've got quite a collection of things I do, and I make myself do these things if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling a bit flat, or I noticed I've overdone it and my energy levels are low. I've got to make myself take time out, because I'm a doer. I like doing. I like creating. Yeah, creating helps to lift the spirit. So the more we do that balance, the stronger the spirit gets, our spirit, and the more that connection with God's spirit happens. And then what happens, we can then recharge and integrate and get that balance a lot quicker.
So I guess it's kind of like any sort of relationship, isn't it? We're talking about
it
connection
is.
Because you can't just do like make a one-off connection and expect that connection's going to stay strong. Like you need to nurture it, you need to look after it and provide inputs that will keep that alive and healthy.
Yes, absolutely. There's a very good quote I'm going to share, and this is a Dr. Margaret Nagib, who works with people with trauma and that, and from a very biblical perspective. You know, she does a lot with healing. And she said, while the body connects us to the outside world, the soul connects us to our inner world. The spirit connects us with the spiritual realm. And it's only through the spirit that the soul and body can fully interact with God. So when you think about it, when we shut our spirit down, like we disconnect, it's a bit like dialing God, picking up the phone, staying connected. And if we hang up, then what happens, the soul and the body start to go downhill, because that support and that empowerment and that spirit from God isn't with us. Right. So, and I don't know any other way. There is nothing that man has created or made that I'm aware of that will do that job.
Yeah, so it highlights how important it is. And it makes sense. I mean, we were talking in the last couple of programs about the biblical model of how we were created in Genesis 2:7, and it's talked with the body and then the spirit, and then we become a soul with those elements, and that spirit came from God. And so if you cut that out, like, you've just cut out the life source, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And therefore, you drain the batteries, basically.
Yeah.
You drain the brain, drain the body, drain the cells, you know. And this is where the last session, we're going to look more at that regeneration, degeneration process. But one of the things we have that we can take a look at is our health message, a health message. And that's looking at the relationship between our lifestyle, mental health, emotional health, physical health, and our spiritual health. Right? You can see on this diagram how the brain, that frontal lobe of the brain right at the front there, you can see it's got physical health, mental health, and spiritual health, and that's connected to the left right hemispheres of the brain, where we have emotions. It goes into the emotional brain. It also connects with the physical needs and that conscious awareness of the body. And then we actually have that doorway to the spiritual health, which is, we've talked about, with the conscience. And that's the capacity to experience, and I believe express love, true love. Now, it's easy to say you love someone, but what happens, does the heart and spirit resonate with that love? And if it does, then this is where the connection to all the organs of the body is going to resonate. A lot of people I treat, they say, I'm so lonely, no one ever comes near me, and I'm so down, and nobody loves me. And I go, well, that's not true. And if certainly if they've got a spiritual awareness, I ask them, do you think God loves you? And if they think, well, no, I'm not good enough, we can then talk about it more and look at faith and other factors. But generally, people in our world are feeling alone and isolated and unloved. Yet the brain wants that connection. The brain has a social aspect. It wants to be connected. It wants to be connected to God. It wants to be connected to self in a healthy way and connected to each other. And that's when you get that wonderful interplay, all the organs of the body, the cells will regenerate. Every part of the body, the beauty is God has given us a self-healing mechanism. We've got a built-in system. We have a built-in system that is constantly balancing everything, whether it be body temperature, appetite, sleep cycle. And it's only when we separate spirit from the soul particularly, or we damage the body or get stuck in it, then the cells start to deteriorate. So this is where if we want health, we have to connect in a way where the cell, where the body, the organs, but the organs will tell us, you know, we know if there's a problem. Instead of going, oh, it's what I ate or what I did, maybe we need to look at it a bit differently.
And look at a whole picture of what connections are not quite lined up here.
What am I doing wrong here? And this is where we've got to activate that brain and, you know, switch on our awareness of the body. You know, what is my body doing? What is my heart doing? You know, I say to people, you know, how are you going with your breathing? Oh, anxious people say, oh, I don't breathe. I say, well, you'd be dead if you don't. And it's because they hold their breath. They're so anxious. That means they're not getting oxygen, carbon dioxide. That means the lungs are suffering. They get panic attacks. They struggle to breathe. They overbreathe. And fear is the motivator, and that's programmed in over the years. You know, we've looked at that past-present connection. So they then the fear is triggered, and then they go into this space and they hold the breath. That means the heart rate's up, it's spiking, it's uneven, it's out of balance. That means left-right brain's out of balance. So instead of being able to reason and rationalize, they are working with their emotions. You know, it's my fear, or they're working on the negative emotions they've dragged up, and that means your right brain's functioning with the emotional memory and the left brain, thinking brain, is supporting it by, oh, it's true and I'm really in trouble here, and it supports, and every negative thought, what do you remember, goes to every cell of the body.
So how does what we think help and impact this connection with the soul and spirit? Like, there's obviously an interrelation there. How does that work?
Well, you've got to be aware of what your thoughts are. Now, thinking can be very subtle. We've got layers of thinking. Like, I know what I'm thinking at the moment, but in the background there might be a noise or something and I've got another thought happening, but I'm still focused on what I'm thinking now. All right, but if I'm not careful, another thought will take over. You know, how often do you think, oh, I'm going to read this book and enjoy and relax? Next thing you're thinking of every other thing. You know, so thoughts have to be disciplined. And to do that, we need to be aware of what am I thinking at any given time? And if it's not a good thought, how can I be realistic and turn it into something constructive? We can't just think positive. Oh, I'll think the opposite, because we have to believe the opposite. You know, people do these affirmations. Unless you believe the affirmation, it's not going to work. It's like, well, tell yourself you're a nice person or you're a good person, and the person doesn't believe it. They can say it 100 times, but those thoughts won't action. It's contrary to what their internal structure is telling them, what their character is telling them. So this is where your thoughts need to match what's happening, right, and how they integrate. So, again, picking up on thoughts, training the brain to stay focused, and this is where health, when we look at that, the brain and the body, and, you know, the gut is important. It's the second brain. So what we put in our gut and the nutrients we have, this is where we're the whole package.
Yes.
So the brain has to understand that. In fact, knowledge is powerful. Science stated, and this is a scientific research, that when the brain knows how it works smarter. So if I teach your brain to know more about how it works, like give you a format, a program, a visual image, your brain will work a lot better.
So that's why we want lots of people to watch these programs, you know, because they'll get smarter brains as a result.
You want to reprogram the brain.
Yeah, that's
it. Put in the right program and get rid of the wrong program, which I've been working on my whole life, basically, going from the wrong program, self-destruction, to being able to live. I'm healthier now than I was in my 20s and 30s.
Wow. Yeah.
That's because of what I'm teaching. So teaching is a good thing.
Personal journey for you as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I can share it, because I know what it's like to be there.
Yeah.
God always uses anything bad, he will use for good.
Mm.
So we can use our experience to help others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's very interesting how you're sharing about all those, the connections and how integrated it is. And also I think the fact that you're mentioning about thoughts and how they can affect your spirituality and then what your beliefs are. And also if your brain knows how it should work, it will work better, because I think lots of people probably don't realize fully how impacting the spirit element is in terms of our whole person function. And if they understood that more and then corrected any beliefs that are not helpful in relation to spirit and spirituality, that would then probably help them to enhance that aspect of their being and then their overall well-being as a result.
Yes. Mm. Most people are overwhelmed by everything because what can I change? So we pick one thing to work on, because the change process for one thing is the same for other things.
Mm.
So give them the map and they work on one thing and then they transfer it to other things. So it's not as hard as you think. It's just getting a starting point and knowing how to change, what to change, how to change.
Mm.
And it's in the thing.
Mm. That's good. You make it sound very easy, but I know you have a lot of experience. Like, yeah, you just start here and go there and there.
That's the mind, as they say.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, very good. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing these things with us once again. I know we have another session still to go on this particular topic we're discussing, but yeah, just thank you for elaborating and enhancing our understanding about the connections between the mind, body, soul, spirit, all of those together, because that's really, really important, I think, to appreciate. So thank you for joining us. We have been talking with health psychologist Jennifer Skews about how the body, soul, and spirit are connected and what this means for our health. In the next program, we will focus on how we can restore connection with these aspects when we have become disconnected as a course of everyday life. So join us for that discussion, as I know that it will be very helpful for you to listen to. If you have questions or comments about this program, or if there's a topic you would like us to discuss, do contact us on health@3abnaustralia.org.au. And always remember to shape your lifestyle as medicine.
You've been listening to Your Lifestyle as Medicine, a production of 3ABN Australia Television.